coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, October 4th, 2022. I want to welcome all of you to today's program. A lot of information to discuss. Stan Deo is going to be with me. Before Stan comes on and Eric Tekel, let me know. I have to say this. Okay, buckle up. Buckle up. Make sure your seatbacks and tray tables are in their full upright and locked position, because it is going to be one hell of a bumpy ride over the next couple of weeks. From the potential nuke situation in Russia, and by the way, the U.S. government, let me say this, the globalists within the U.S. government, for example, and especially including Barack Hussein, Barry Satoru, Obama, Victoria Nuland, David Petraeus, and others are really responsible for any kind of kinetic action that might result in Ukraine, Russia, that whole situation. This goes back to it goes back to 2014, the Maidan coup, not a revolution, but a coup. And this coup was organized by globalists within the U.S. government. I want people to really understand that. So whatever you see happen, you can blame squarely on Victoria Nuland, in my view, and Obama, and others around them during that period of time. Susan Rice, David Petraeus. But clearly, Victoria Nuland, Barack Hussein Obama's central agent, oversaw the coup known as the Maidan Revolution, protests, or whatever you want to call those, known by several names. But it was back in 2014 when there was Nuland acting as a central agent, if you will, overseeing this coup, at least during February of 2014, when it climaxed, was certainly crucial in overthrowing the existing Ukrainian government and installing its own anti-Russian, rabidly anti-Russian marionette there. All right. And this can be proved by a telephone conversation that took place on January 27th of 2014 between her and the ambassador to Ukraine, American ambassador to Ukraine, Jeffrey Pyatt. And that conversation has been uploaded numerous times on YouTube and such. It was during that call, you might recall, that Nuland said, F the EU, and I quote, F the EU. Well, I'm abbreviating the first word. All right. So, and of course, all of this plays into Biden's role into Ukraine right now with respect to what? The energy dealings he and his son had. And I say he and his son had. But there are also other globalists involved in this as well. EU's foreign minister at the time, Ashton, I'm sorry. And others. Okay, so this is something right now, the chickens are coming home to roost, as they say, and you really need to understand, people really need to understand the backdrop behind this nuclear threat in which we face. That. Also, the markets opened higher today. Now, if you remember Aaron Brickman, who was on, by the way, with Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, if you haven't listened to that interview, I would urge you to listen to that interview at naturalnews.com. But I'm telling you right now, we are in for a bumpy economic road. What we're seeing right now is perhaps the second of three or just maybe 2 days of a kind of a screw you rally, which is going to I'm not going to put any words in his mouth, but what this is going to look like is as a absolute downward fall, almost a free fall of the market down to levels that you never thought would exist in this particular era. You're talking as something worse than 2008, worse than, perhaps even on par is 1929, in that between now and the midterms. And you know, one thing that Aaron Brickman said during his conversation with Mike Adams, they touched on, of course, what happened in 2008. And you really can't go to, there are very few reliable sources on the internet, but what was 2008 all about? That was payback. That was the takedown of Lehman was the payback for what Lehman did to LTCM during that crisis. Okay, so again, understand the backdrop of where we're at today. So the takeaway from all of this, we face right now because of Biden and O'Biden, because of his people, because of Obama, because of the Victoria Nulands and the Hillary Clintons and the Hunter Bidens of this world and the globalists, including Soros and that whack job over there, Klaus Schwab. Yeah, I'm calling you a whack job, Klaus Schwab. And Soros, you too. You might have the money, but you ain't got no class. Expect death. Expect carnage, really, in the next 30 days. Expect economic carnage like you have never flipping seen in your life. Unless you're 120 some years old. I'm telling you right now. It's come. Musk is going to supposedly proceed with Twitter. I don't know if he's toying. Look, that really doesn't even matter. Okay, Twitter is a garbage pit as far as I'm concerned. But that's just me. And of course, you've got the alien invasion of the southern border. Enough fentanyl to come over the border. Meanwhile, you know, cancer patients with pain, they can't get their friggin' pain meds because of these morons out there making these stupid rules, right? About, well, you know, I know you're 70 years old. I know that, you got cancer, stage 4 cancer, but we can only give you 7 pain pills. Because we don't want you to get addicted. Meanwhile, you got enough fentanyl coming over the southern border, compliments of the cartels and the globalists to kill every man, woman, and child in this country 5-6 times over. How much sense does that make? And then Sandy Cortez, the bartender from the Bronx, the bartender from the upscale Westchester County area, Alexandria, AOC, right? She's pitching a fit because, well, we can't have, a tent city in my district. Well, you caused it. You know what? They should be in your friggin' house, in your apartment. Quit making TikTok videos and take care of business. It's a clown world out there, and we're in it. Yeah? No? All right. You didn't tell me. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. Stan Dale from standale.com. Finally, a normal day with Stan. Let's get right to Stan Dale. Stan, thanks for being so patient. God bless you, my friend. How are you? How are you feeling, brother, after your bout with COVID?
Pretty good now. Holly and I both have oxygen levels at around 90, between 89 and 90. So doesn't feel like it, but that's what the thing tells us. And, she's coughing an awful lot around the clock.
Mm.
And I'm not coughing. I'm just weak. In fact, last Friday night, you know, went up in the bedroom to, you know, at nighttime to get up and go to take a leak. And it was dark in the room, and I got my feet caught in the top blanket, which was very smooth and on the floor, wood floor.
Mm.
And, because of the weakness, I just couldn't get my balance. I fell forward toward the bathroom door and through it, actually. Managed to bruise myself in a number of places, hip, the legs, the knee, the head, left elbow, that even bled. So,
gee whiz.
Nothing was broken. They x-rayed me and, you know, poked around, and I'm thankful for that. But, you know, things still hurt, like that was where the elbow hit. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah. I still can't lean on it. So anyway, yeah, it's taking its toll.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. You go to the doctors for problem A, and then they find problem B, C, D, and E. You know, they say, well, yeah, you might be here because, you know, you're bruised up a little bit, but boy, you know, we got to take care of this and that. And all of a sudden it's like you're a full-time flipping patient going in and out of, yeah, it's just, it's crazy. So I'm glad you're upright.
Me too.
upright. All right. So,
well, if I get a bit absent-minded today, I've been having a little bit of memory lag here. I'm slower. So I get that.
No, you know what? Don't apologize, because I've got no excuse, and I get memory lag anyway. So, so there's that. But you know what? I mean, the floor is yours. Man, I'm telling you what, you've been through hell and back with your health. And folks, I ask that you pray for Stan and pray for Holly, pray for them individually and collectively, because they're assets to all of us. And God bless them for what they do, and Stan for what he does. And make sure you get your EMP shield. Make sure you take advantage of all the intellectual products that they have. So thank you, Stan. And so you go ahead and take us wherever, because it's been a while since, because of the schedule. So you go ahead and take us wherever you want to take us. It's all yours.
Well, I listened to the last part of your, you know, last hour, about all the things going wrong and the very real probability that we'll see a nuclear war start in Europe there. And it reminded me of a book I wrote in 1978. What is that now? 44 years ago. And in that book, let's see what page this is here. I don't know what page that is, actually. But anyway, it's in the Cosmic Conspiracy book. And I'm just trying to move the page without losing it too much here. Page 483. There we go. Anyway, and just quoting from that book. On that page, I take a position of the Illuminati, the global planners, what they might be saying about our time right now. In the latter 10 years of our great plan, that's the Illuminati, we would have presumably been ready to let the masses pull their heads out. By that time, our secret sociological model and the attendant technology would have been developed to a state of readiness. All we would have had to do was concoct spurious global crises, break down the people's cultural boundaries, embarrass their established orders. Now, tell me any country where people are happy with this government right now. Any country, whether it be Russia or China or whatever, Europe, everybody is unhappy because they sit across the kitchen table and say, what are our problems in the house today? And they've all got food problems, energy problems, money problems, and threats of, you know, war problems.
Yeah, I mean, geez, I got to worry about paying my rent or my mortgage and getting nuked. I mean, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd open a cool tent and go out and sit on the front porch and wait for the little mushroom blossom out there, you know. Hey, isn't that cool? Well, you know, hot but cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, the Illuminati would say to threaten the people with World War III or nuclear annihilation. Now, that was written 44 years ago. Yep. While they are in a state of shock over the demise of their own social orders, we would have offered them hope in the form of media-presented escape. We would have presented movies, books, television, which would have portrayed UFO people as friendly, as superior, as gods of ancient legends. I can see it now, frozen in an energy crisis, saddened by the water gates of the world, dying from environmental pollution, starving from food shortages, frightened of global nuclear war, sick of moral decay, afraid of the daily news, bankrupted by global monetary fluctuations, unemployed from economic depressions, crowded by the ever-present birth rate, frightened by the suspicion that a global weather catastrophe was about to happen, global warming, mankind, that great slicker mass of which you and I are a relative part, would have been ready for alternative three. And it goes on. And alternative three, of course, was, you know, if the United Nations fails, if a force like Hitler used would fail to unify the planet, we have to have a third alternative where we coerce, fool the people, the masses of the planet, into thinking there is an alternative from off-world that has solved all their problems and can travel the galaxies. And, you know, obviously they are like our creators and they can help us in our time of crisis to unify the planet, or they can annihilate us. And this third alternative being either a threat or a potential blessing, people would run to it and to the representative of this organization, this third alternative, somewhere on our planet. Anyway, that's, I just wanted to let you know that cosmic conspiracy is still viable, and it was ahead of its time. I thought things would happen a lot quicker, to be quite honestly, but now we see it, and to my amazement, they still let me sell the book, and I feel no political or other pressure from the Illuminist. Maybe they feel it's so close now then that, you know, closing off communication with people like me and you and Steve and all the others that are trying to wake people up and doing that in some degree, that they close off our communication with the public and then go ahead with their great deception. Now,
I'll just, not that you need, validation, but Cosmic Conspiracy, folks, is a great book to get. And if you don't have it already, get it, because it's relevant and it does lay out the foundation as to where we're at today. Do you feel any, here's kind of my problem. I look at these leftists walking around, the communists walking around inside our government and outside our government, and they're cocksure that, you know, they're going to win, that they're going to prevail. At least that's the way it seems to me. I don't see any fright regarding the midterms, if we even have them, based on the coming economic collapse and such. But okay, so what's that all about? Because if I'm looking at a guilty person, they're cocksure that they're not going to get caught or get charged. Well, got to ask myself, what's going on there? Well, it bothers me.
It bothers me too, and it did a long time ago when I was writing the book. The thing is that the obvious, or the apparent leadership of the United States, of many countries in Europe, et cetera, and England, the leadership appears to be leading us down this leftist, communist, socialist path with gay abandon, unashamed. And I know that the globalists are doing this on purpose to stir us up, to stir the masses up against their governments. And I also know that what's going to happen after this new world order is formed is demanded by us, the people, that the apparent leaderships of these countries, these traitors, you know, like in our country, like Pelosi and Biden, who's kind of just a figurehead anyway, but those people behind him, they will all be taken out of power by the new world order. They will be removed from power forcibly and probably killed. Why do I say this? Because in any historic communist overthrow of a government, the traitors that help them to overthrow their own government are immediately executed because they are a threat. They cannot be trusted. You know, you know, anybody that betrays their own people cannot be trusted. So all of this apparent leadership of the planet that is bad at the moment, that is raising people to the point of wanting to have civil war, all of that is going to go away, going to be replaced. Now, to back this up, in my show images page, what would be image 53, I forgot to change the number from X to 53, but it's at the top in the middle. It says billionaire Bill Gates is warning that America is heading for what? Civil war, and fears that political polarization could bring it all to an end. Now, I'll just click on the text of that. Let's have a look at that. Okay. Billionaire Bill Gates is warning that America's heading for civil war and fears that political polarization could bring it all to an end. Gates made the prediction during a recent keynote conversation of this year's Forbes 400 summit on philanthropy, easy for me to say. The Microsoft co-founder revealed that he plans to end the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in 25 years. Well, okay, so what? He says he revealed that he plans to spend billions of dollars over the next few years on fighting infectious disease and climate change. Now, you got to wonder whether he considers global conspiracy theories or things like that as infectious.
You know what? I've got the same article here, and you know what caught my attention? And here it is right here, but it doesn't matter. What caught my attention on this one is, and I'll ask you about this, because this came out on September 24th, and then there have been additional iterations since then.
Yeah.
But he said this. He said, Bill Gates, well, the author, Sarah Jackson from I'm not sure exactly where they're, this is from Business Insider, said he's sounding the alarm on political polarization in the U.S., political polarization may bring it all to an end. We're going to have a hung election and a civil war. What the heck is a hung election?
I guess it could be one of two things. Something so close to a tie that it doesn't count. They want to recount. Or it can be that, the vote is equal, to the point they want to recount. I mean, it's just a hung election means that it can't be resolved. And just like the last election, between Biden and Trump, that's not resolved yet, because of all the challenges to whether the vote counting was fair or not. And so something similar to that, or, a civil war, which, of course, would be a result of that or just a prelude to it. We're at a point now where any thinking person, Bible-believing person, can see that we're headed for a dictatorship of the left, of the anti-God powers in this country, in fact, in the world. And so at some point, our kind of right-wing viewpoint, as people say, is we're going to have to draw a line in the sand and say, this far and no farther. In fact, you've stepped over the line already. And I know that's coming, and that's been planned for 50, 60 years. That's the way it's got to go. To where you have civil disorder, civil war, civil disorder, however you want to call it, across the entire planet. And the reason being is that you want the entire planet's people to demand a new fair government somehow. And with the increasing interest by the established governments in UFOs, unidentified aerial phenomena, whatever, UAPs, whatever they call it, it's drawing our attention that they are aware of this superior technology and culture all around us, and possibly having been our creators. They're very liberal with that. And so when you see all this coming, the people of the planet will race to anyone who has dealings with these quote-unquote aliens, which are fallen angels, in my opinion. They're from, God has cast them down here from a great war in the heavens. And people are going to race to them for a solution that don't know better. And I'm hoping, from what I've read in Scripture, that the church, the bride of Jesus, will be removed to a safe place before they're even tempted to follow this new world order. And this crisis curve, like the others I was mentioning and reading that page in the Cosmic Conspiracy a while ago, this crisis or these crises are forcing us into a tight little gate right now, like sheep to go through. Excuse me.
Folks, Stan Dale from standale.com. Yeah, take it easy, man. You know, take it real easy. Anytime you have to take a pause, and no worry. But Stan Dale from standale.com, EMPShield.com, folks. Make sure you get your EMP shield for what's coming. And also go to standale.com for all of the intellectual products that are there. By the way, EMPShield.com, use promo code Hagman for $50 off your purchase. Multiple purchases, multiple discounts increase, not from the promo code, but just from the multiple purchases. So I would urge everyone to get ready in that respect. Okay, Stan. And again, take any breaks as much as you want, anytime. Go ahead,
sir. Okay, thank you. In slide 52, my show image is saying I have a link to a 3.5-minute video on the UB Ready prophecy channel. And the guy there quotes from Jeremiah and a few other places about what he has received, I guess, as prophecy from the Lord, from Yeshua. And in there, in that 3.5 minutes, he talks about Russia is going to attack America first. And he calls America Babylon, or God did it in revealing this to him. And after Russia has attacked us on the East Coast and the South Coast, then China will attack America when we're already militarily and morally just, you know, defeated. We're in chaos. Possibly martial law will have been declared, you know, in the view of the Russian invasion, so that there'll just be chaos from all quarters. That's why I think the church will be gone at this point in time, so they're not going to be tempted to run to this fake solution of, you know, an alien population or alien populations coming to let us join the Federation of Friendly Planets or whatever they're going to call it. Anyway, these things are lining up where I thought they would. You know, personally, I thought they'd happen in the 1980s, but they didn't. The Lord had showed me this stuff so far ahead of time that it gave many other people a chance to come out and see what was happening and witness this to their people all over the planet. My book alone is in 22 countries and three languages. And I don't know about, you know, Marzulli and, you know, Steve, others. We've got books all over the planet, and they've had 44 years to spread the message throughout the entire planet through several generations. So I hope people that are able to see this video today will take a time, if they're not a believer yet, to look at some websites that talk about the end times, the prophecy of the end of this age, not the world, and this fake alien world government coming. Read out there. It's all over the internet. And don't be ashamed to look at things about, you know, UFOs or aliens and that kind of stuff. Read to see the psychological effect of this, what it's going to have on the population. Now, talking about psychological effect, if you lived in Japan yesterday and today, you'll see that in slide 54. It's called Excess up at the top. But if you look at that, there is a CNN video, and it says, Japan issues a rare alert as North Korea fires missile without warning over the main island. Now, let me just see if I've got a, gonna put a picture of that up there. No, I think, yeah, I didn't have room. Anyway, what they've done is fire this missile right over the top part of the main island of Japan, where there's a strait. There's no land underneath where the path of that missile was. But it's been 5 years, 6 years since they did this before. And they're testing it. And they know that we've been watching what they're doing. I don't know if we can stop what they're doing as far as their underground, under mountain type facilities to make nuclear warheads and nuclear missiles. Mainly because, as I discussed on my show images page last week, which obviously you and I weren't doing the show, but during that show or that posting, I showed that the Iranians have developed a new composite carbon fiber cement to build their underground bunkers with that will withstand, you know, a bunker buster bomb and a nuclear hit above it. Now, if you can't go in and destroy them that way, you're going to need magic to stop the development of North Korea's nuclear arsenal. And we're now expecting for them to test more missiles, possibly over the same area, but in the straits north of Japan, over the next few weeks. Now, if we knew that they were building these things and knew where they were building it, but could not bomb it, you know, with a bunker buster bomb that would get through, then we really could not defend ourselves against what's coming. And they are just one of several countries that can launch a barrage of nuclear missiles that will take out 120 of our cities in the blink of an eye. Anyway, I'm sure that there were a lot of Japanese people that were ducking and covering, as we said in the 50s, because that doggone missile, I'm sure some of the north part of the island could see that missile go over at night or in daytime, whenever it was. Let's get on to some other things that aren't totally political. That's enough of that floating around. In slide 49, I talk about or linked an article where New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern was blasted for comparing free speech online to weapons of war in a recent speech she made to the United Nations. Her speech, total speech, was called authoritarian. If you click on the text link there, you get to see this lovely lady. She's saying our ability to communicate with each other over the internet and to say what we think is, you know, a weapon of war. Therefore, the people who use this facility must be, therefore, those of us that use this medium and other communications mediums to warn people about what is happening, we are war criminals, I guess, in her opinion. And that will justify, you know, that would justify, if she gets legislation support in New Zealand, taking down your internet communication and possibly imprisoning or fining all of those people who are trying to wake people up to the Bible and the prophecies of this time. Anyway, that's, I looked at that and I thought, wow, okay, New Zealand better look out. But that kind of talk, I suspect that they will see some geophysical and political and financial hurt very, very soon. It just amazes me. Who is this woman? I mean, that isn't America. Obviously, they don't have the Constitution. But it just takes us back to the serfdom, you know, the feudal system, where the baron of the property says, this is the law today, I make it, and you're guilty, you're gone, and your property is mine. It's just so in your face.
It's almost as if now we're living through the cult favorite They Live by John Carpenter, where others were handing out sunglasses, or the special sunglasses where we can see who these people really are and who, you know, what's really going on. And that's the process, I think, in which we're seeing this. I'm not even going to finish that sentence except to say, you know what? I'm never going to stop talking about what they're doing. I'm never going to stop talking about the God of the Bible. I'm never going to stop talking about Jesus Christ. I'm never going to stop what I'm doing. You can kill me, because that's the only way you're going to stop me. Yeah. All right. You can pull the plug. I'll find another way.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it'll be slower perhaps, but it'll still be there.
Yep.
Yeah. We're either going to take sunglasses or the red pill or something or other, but we're going to help people see through it. Boy.
That's right. Go ahead.
In slide 47, I noticed something that is continuing today about gold and silver prices. If you click on the picture, you'll see at the end of yesterday's trading, that gold and silver had both started to take a sudden uptake in value. Now, in the text link, it goes over to Robert Kiyosaki and Rich Dad Poor Dad Guy, mm-hmm. where he says that he's going to see prices of, I think it's silver, reach $500 an ounce in the next 10 years. Well, I don't think we have to wait long for it to be even more than it is now. If silver gets up above $45 at any point in time, that's an all-time record. And if you look at these graphs in the picture there, the green line is in both the upper one, gold and silver, shows you how sudden the jump was. Now, in silver, it was an 8% jump in one day, 8%. In gold, it was around 2%, plus or minus a couple of tenths. But it suddenly leapt up, you know, at whatever time that is over London there, and then started to level off. But today, last I checked, earlier in the day, it was still starting to climb, not as rapidly yet. But as soon as people realize why that is happening, there will be a panic buy of gold and silver, and the material value will go up. But in the long run, we can't buy or sell gold in this country anyway without the permission of the government. If they say you can't trade gold or silver anymore, you go to jail, then all of your assets you put into gold and silver, even though they're valuable, you can't use them to buy stuff that you need. So that's why it's important to watch this index. It's going to see some more growth spurts suddenly over the next few weeks. Kiyosaki says it's going to be due to the Federal Reserve boosting the interest rate again.
Sure.
They've been saying this for, a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks now. But it's starting to sink into the institutional share brokers, you know, Wall Street. And that's driving this price up. I suppose there'll be a clever time to sell some of your gold and silver to buy or pay off whatever you need to while you still can. Because as we've discussed before on the show several times, there is a move in the banks. Vector Bank told me the same thing, that they're going to move toward total digital money. And, your account, they didn't say this, but your account is going to be converted to total digital control by them. And the money you think you have in there, you don't. It belongs to the banks. And so they can increase or decrease its trading value at the stroke of a pen. So if you're the Illuminists, which we're talking about, they have looked at our position. They put themselves in the resistance to their changes, into our mindset. And they say, well, they'd be wanting to trade gold, silver, diamonds, maybe. And they want, food. They will probably hoard some cash, bitcoins, this kind of stuff. All of these avenues to buy and sell are going to be controlled and put into one lump method. And you won't be able to buy or sell without this digital ID number. And that's where they're headed, again, fulfilling biblical prophecy. That's why these crisis curves are all coming together right now to make it imperative to people to survive, to eat, to pay their bills, to follow the directives of the New World Order. But it will be replaced by this fake one. It's going to be an interesting chess game.
I do think that the globalist scumbaggery underestimate the resolve of the people, especially the people of the United States, a lot of them. And you tell me you can't, that I can't trade in gold and silver, I'm going to tell you to pound sand. Okay. You tell me I can't run a parallel economy to your digital currency. Okay. We're going to go at it. And if that's where they want to take this, I don't have a problem with that, because I'm not going to live on my knees. I'm going to die on my feet.
That's right.
And you know what? I know that sounds like bravado, false bravado, but I'll tell you what, I'll take at least one or two out with me. Okay. I mean, and I'm not talking tough. I'm talking realistic. Okay. I can't fight. I don't want to fight anybody. I don't want any of this to come to pass.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't, but I'll tell you what, gold and silver, 5,000 year, I'm sorry, gold and silver for as long as, man has been, around have been methods of wealth, stores of wealth. And that's exactly what it is now. If you're looking for gold, if you're looking at it as an investment, okay, you're looking at it all wrong. Okay, so I don't want to see comments about, well, you know, you make more in the stock market and crypto than anything else. Okay, then do it. Then shut up, get out of my face and do it. Go ahead. All right, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, yeah. We talk gold and silver, but some of the larger players use diamonds, precious gems. And I wonder why, because, gosh, for the last 30 years, I think, or 40 years, the Chatham Company over in California developed a way to make artificial emeralds, rubies, diamonds. You know, the thing that I bring up, the reason I bring it up is slide 43. There was an experiment done here recently using plastic bottles, you know, the stuff you get your drinks in and things like that, the PET bottles. They took a thin sheet of that stuff and shot strong laser flashes that hit the foil-like material and sample briefly, and it heated it up to 6,000 degrees Celsius and thus generated a shock wave that compressed the plastic matter to millions of times the atmospheric pressure for a few nanoseconds. The scientists were able to determine that tiny diamonds, so-called nanodiamonds, formed under extreme pressure in this experiment that repeated times and again. Now, we have outer planets, large outer planets, which have huge gravitational fields, and they have, say?
No, what's that?
Hold on just a second. Say again, Holly's saying something. What? Oh, good grief. I didn't realize that. Holly said that 4 or 5 years ago, we had an article that talked about them taking dead people and compressing their remains into a diamond that you can wear around your necklace. Your neck in a necklace.
Why wait until they're dead? Do it now.
Well, there you go. Yeah, it's all two problems at once.
Yeah.
But you see the folly of putting asset value in gemstones, because name one, and they've made it artificially. And the Chatham Company, that's Chatham, gosh, they've got a beautiful array of gemstones that are real. They just weren't dug out of the ground or something. They are perfectly made, flawless, you know, emeralds, rubies, diamonds, whatever. And I did communicate with the founder of the company and his daughter years ago and had them make me 55 carats of emerald as a gift for Holly. But the value of that is not like if I'd found it, you know, in the ground and dug it out and gave it to somebody. So it tells you right there that the asset value of these kind of things is going to be very poor, if anything. It'll be for minor trading, won't be for any major values.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to trade your Aunt Ruthie and six cousins for, you know? But,
yeah, true.
I know. But I'll tell you what. I really think that these globalist scumbags are underestimating. I mean, Gates, you know, people like Gates. Okay, you get him in an alley, and he's going to be on his knees begging for his life. The same thing with Schwab, except with a German accent. These people are, in my view, in addition to being scum.
Don't hurt me.
Yeah. You know, don't hurt me. Yeah. Thank you. You do that. See, and what does the Bible say about, you know, that's, you know, what's responsible or who's responsible for all this? Paraphrasing that, taking it out of the Bible, I'm not sure. But nonetheless, look, all of this stuff is coming to a head. Like you pointed out, man, it's all coming to a head right now, isn't it? And it's I'm wondering if we're gonna see the midterms. I really am. And if we do see the midterms, like I said, same machines, everything's the same. We didn't fix diddly. And I'll tell you what. This time, if we allow pizza boxes or cardboard put over the windows or machines used and counted and late mail-ins and late ballots, then shame on us, because we're to blame now for what's happening. And I think that's but I don't even know if we're going to get to that point, because I do suspect some really bad things to be happening between now and the midterms, because these people are walking around like they're the, you know, like nothing can hurt them and nothing can take them from power. And I just,
you know what,
about that.
Something will take them from power. And the people that don't know better, but are conservative, Well, look at this and cheer here and in Europe and whatever. Say, oh, you stupid buggers that have ruined our economies. You know, too bad for you. Sad you lost your life or your position in government, whatever, and been replaced by a quote unquote fair global government. So, you know, when you look at the obvious thing in the news, look beyond that. This is a chess game. Where are all the peoples of the world being herded? Into what gate? The gate to one world government by a friendly alien government or civilization or civilizations that are here and here to help us. We're being herded. So even though you say the bad guys, you know, that we see now in government will get theirs and we get to see them taken down one way or another, it's not time to cheer. It's time to be very cautious and watch what's happening globally. Anyway, I know people have listened to you and I for years have probably heard this so many times they're tired of it, but there are a lot of people, friends, family, whatever, all of us that have not heard because we chose not, or they chose not to hear what we're saying. But now is the time, and they're feeling it economically, you know, socially, you know, politically. They're feeling what we've been warning about. And so it's time to advise them not to follow the first, you know, political savior of the planet. It's going to be a deception. It's been planned. This planning started in the 50s. And I list some of those people and show the photos in the Cosmic Conspiracy. Anyway, let's go on to some science here. Slide 50. Last week, NASA's DART spacecraft intentionally crashed into Dimorphos, a petite moonlet orbiting the larger asteroid Didymos. Now a telescope on the ground in Chile has imaged the massive plume created by the impact in the days following this encounter. The expanding dust trail from the collision is clearly visible in the photo there, stretching to the right corner of the image. According to Noir Lab release, who made the release of the picture, the debris trail stretches about 6,000 miles or 10,000 kilometers from the point of impact. Now, click on the picture there, and I want to bring, you know, this thought to your mind. Now, this was a tiny asteroid that it hit, and it's in a very, well, it should have been a very stable orbit, which we were hoping it moved it a bit around Didymos, the bigger asteroid. Look at the streak going up to the right in the photo. You'll see at the top right edge, you can start to see defined sunlit particles, discrete particles from the impact. Now, these may be no bigger than a hand or whatever, but imagine if we go to impact a larger asteroid, which has an Earth approaching or intersect orbit, you know, in the next year or two or whatever we calculate, and we blow up that thing. We may move the main asteroid, but then it's going to release a shower of smaller particles knocked out of the asteroid that we exploded the, or, you know, hit the thing with, which, you know, could produce some rather nasty events, you know, on the Earth, because the main meteor may have been moved off intersect, but the debris that we've created is kind of going to be anybody's guess until that moment how much of it's going to fall on the Earth and the Moon and, you know, in our system. So it's not a fix-all solution that NASA's come up with. It's probably better than nothing to try to move the main asteroid like that. But we're going to create smaller problems that, you know, they'll hit all over the planet if that tail or trail, as the case may be, strikes across the Earth. And so if you look at nuclear just doesn't do the forceful impact we need. You know, it produces radioactive particles as well. You know, some globs and things that haven't melted together in the main blast. And those will be similar type problems. You know, I guess there's some clever way to move something like that. If you have a big enough rocket engine or something to stick to the side of it and gradually move it over years from its intersect with the Earth. But when you're talking, you know, billions of tons of mass and you've got a little tiny rocket pushing on it, it's going to take a lot of time to move it very much at all. Anyway, this is just something to consider. That's, you know, it was a great effort, a great feat to reach out to whatever it was, 6 to 7 million miles, and hit that little tiny asteroid orbiting another asteroid square in the middle and produce this effect. I mean, the target involved in this over a couple of years is just enormous. And for that, my hat's off to these folks, but it's only this first small step toward defending the Earth against near-Earth objects. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. That's, yeah. Good to know. I mean, ultimately good to know.
Yeah, I suppose so. I suppose so. Yeah. At least it gives you the impression we're doing something to protect the planet. I've given thought to this, as have many people, physicists and scientists alike, trying to figure out some clever way to, you know, to deflect an Earth approaching or intersecting object like that. And first problem was to be able to navigate so accurately that you come right on that object with whatever you're going to do to shield us from it. And that's now been done, you know, in spades. The DART program proved that it could be that accurate. Now, over a greater distance than 7 million miles, well, I don't know. I don't know what the percent of accuracy is, plus or minus how much percent. But at least it's a start, and it worked. So if we could, I guess, develop some sort of a way to affect the mass or the gravity of that asteroid by generating a field around it, if such a field exists around these 30-foot UFOs we hear about for years, maybe such a thing could be used to tractor this large asteroid that might be impacting with us at some time, to tractor it with a gravitational field alteration so this mass changes and therefore its orbit changes. Anyway, just a way out thought. I'll quit being physics on you here.
Interesting. Any thoughts, by the way, on we got about 9 minutes left. Any thoughts about the hurricane?
Well, one thought, a lot of thoughts, but the first thing that us conspiracy theorists have to say is there's a Democratic government in charge, and the president of the country is at odds, extreme odds, with the governor, DeSantis, there in Florida. Is it possible for us to steer a hurricane? Yes. It's been known since the 70s that such a thing was possible. And it's even more possible now with current technology. Once a hurricane is formed, you need to be able to steer it with heating elements, probably from orbit coming down, to cause it to veer into warmer water where the updraft is going to accelerate spin. So it is possible. Whether it was done on purpose to hit Florida so badly, I don't know. But boy, you couldn't have hurt Florida more, I don't think, than what this one has done. I kind of had a laugh when I read this article on slide 48 about that. You know, the storm surge comes up 10, 12, 15 feet, and that's deep, right? And it goes inland in between houses, buildings, and whatever, so that, you know, fish that are out there on the coast get swept into it, and they swim around the streets and, you know, underwater, out of sight. And there was a video of a camera, taken from a camera on Twitter, that got submerged with this storm surge, and it kept on working. And it recorded this shark-like thing swimming past it. And I'm thinking, boy, would you get a surprise if you were in the neighborhood there, you know, kind of wading through the water and you lose a leg all of a sudden to a shark. Storm surge brings all sorts of goodies and surprises. But anyway, I shouldn't laugh, I guess, but that's just one of the things that struck me funny is I had never thought about an invasion of sharks, you know, sea creatures in the storm surge, but it certainly could happen.
Yeah. We're praying for the people in Florida. That was devastating. And wow, it's going to be a long time before we can get back to, by the way, folks, if you're watching this on Rumble or Brighteon, there is that shark. Aforementioned shark.
So don't go out and play with the sharks today. It's not a good day. No, I'll tell you, there are so many groups that have sent trucks of equipment and stuff. They need volunteers down there to, you know, clean up debris in the streets so that people can get to and from their homes and businesses. And these philanthropic groups, most of them are Christian based, but I'm so thankful that they're there to give the tools needed to the people who are volunteering their time and efforts to restore Florida. It's going to be, as you said, a massive long-term event to overcome all this. I'm sure we're going to see political repercussions of it. The economic is beyond question. One of the things that bothered me was, who was it? Kamala Harris. Is she the one that said that priority is going to be given to low-income people as far as the use of the money to rebuild? Was it her? It was either her or Pelosi, one of the two. And, you know, it just shows you the one-sidedness of it. The poor homes, if you're poor down there or low-income areas and were damaged by the hurricane, you get priority call on the money from the government to rebuild. Again, not too divisive, is it?
Equality versus equity. None of this works, and it's all insane, and it's infuriating.
Okay, I better move on here. A couple of things on New Zealand. In slide 44, we talk about the volcanic activity levels there on the three. If you click on the picture, on the three various volcanoes, the highest alert is White Island in the left part of the picture there. In the middle is Lake Taupo, which you don't want to see activity there, but we're seeing it over on the kind of the northeast corner there of that. And then you see Ruapehu in the south part of Lake Taupo. It is active. Level 1 and Taupo level 1 and White Island at level 2. Now, those three areas are all in what we call the zipper, Z-I-P-P-E-R, zipper of North Island. When White Island goes really hard, everybody kind of holds their breath in North Island because that shockwave going down through the middle of North Island will hit Lake Taupo and Ruapehu and unzip the island. And a massive super volcano would result. I've seen it in dream visions. Other Christians have seen it in dream visions at that very spot there at Lake Taupo. Now, adding to that problem, if you look at slide 45, they are now being able to measure changes in the pressures under the island and the fault zone there. Let me just click on the picture, actually. And you'll see that they're showing that within the next 50 years, they're expecting a mega quake. And, you know, you look over to the left of that there where hot springs and mud volcanoes are there in the, just north of Lake Taupo. And so scientifically, they're saying within 50 years, which you mean tomorrow or 50 years from now, somewhere in that period of time, that is going to be an island breaker. And I think the North Island will catch the majority of this. South Island is on the left side of the major fault line, but this one runs right through North Island. Again, unsettling for New Zealanders and for the rest of the world, too, because we do depend on New Zealand as a part of our global community for a number of things. I mean, where would we be? We wouldn't have Lord of the Rings territory about South Island.
Good butter. That's right. Well,
Okay, now, time, 3 or 4 minutes?
You got about 1 minute.
1 minute. Okay, quickly, slide 42, check on that daily. These bright white areas move from left to right across the picture. The zero point there in the middle is when it's Earth-directed. There is a cluster coming around in our direction in the next 2 days, maybe even three, that will possibly generate some really horrific CMEs and or magnetic storms, you know, in the X level, which is the highest level. At least an X1, maybe up to X9, depends on how crazy that field becomes. You can see pictures of it there in slide 38 and magnetic field in 37. Click on slide 41, Eric, at the picture, and you'll see that this is a picture of yesterday. Yeah. Okay.
We are out of time, but folks, go to HagmanReport.com, click on the links. It'll take you directly to the show images page, as well as Stan Dale's website, as well as EMP Shield and all of that. Stan, please get some rest. I know I'm going to hear from listeners and viewers saying that poor man, you made him come on. And so
No, I made me come on. I'm going to try to even do this Sunday's Patreon.
All right. Well, God bless. Have a good night. We're out of here. Good night.
God bless you. Bye-bye.